I said, they just want to say, you want to move the pulpit. I said, I don't want to move this pulpit an inch. I've been preaching right here for 25 years, and I don't want to move it. We're going to stick with it, but we'll shake it a little bit. But we got a little ledge out there, standing out there. If we really want to spit on more of you, we can just get right out there on the end there. Won't you turn to the Matthew, and we got two lessons really today that I usually get a half of one. I want you to look at some critical teaching today, and let's take this to heart. That it's a doer of the word is justified, not a hearer only. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach without they being sent of God? I want you to go to the sixth chapter of Matthew, and will y'all quote the Lord's Prayer with me this morning? Let's quote it. We're about done with it here. This will be our last little deal with the Lord's Prayer today, probably. So let's. You hear this little baby over here? Doesn't that sound good? I was preaching Brother Holcomb a while back, and he asked the Lord to give him a bunch of children in the church, and he told the Lord, he said, "I'll put up with the crying and the running and buddy, I'm telling you, he's got them too. God moved. I mean, they got kids. I tell you what, if you ever pastor, you'll know him that age are the easiest to pastor of the whole flock. Now they don't pay much tithes, but now they're not in any trouble either, huh? And so let's just raise them up in here to where they're converted, and maybe a conversion happens so subtly that it just goes right on into glory without them ever knowing what it'd like to be in jail, huh? All right, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we've studied a few weeks on this wonderful pattern of prayer. And I'm going to move on beyond that a little bit today. But the prayer closes out, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory is thine's. It is thine, O Lord." For there's a lot of kingdoms in this world. And if we had Brother Finley here today, he could preach to you about the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdoms of all that's in that statue. But what I know this morning is that the kingdoms of this world will be defeated by this kingdom of God. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Jesus told old Pilate, he said, "Thou can have no power over me at all, except it were given thee of my Father." Now, we have, as I've already mentioned this morning, we have a formidable enemy. But a Christian can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. If you're here this morning and you think, "I just can't make it," then I want you to know, in God, you can do all things. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord this morning. Y'all feel it? Yeah. Now, you may say, "Well, I've never been in that position where I didn't think I was going to make it." Brother, I have. And you probably will. And you got to realize that thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. And thine is the glory. If we're going to give honor and glory, let's give honor and glory, amen, to God. For His is the King. Now, I'm going to move on a little bit out of this prayer and in a couple of different areas here. And this whole chapter has been talking about special types of devotion and that a Christian does. And how many knows that the three things that are mentioned in this chapter? The first thing we studied about was alms. Remember that? That is a particular grace that's given in a life for an individual to do. Giving. And so, you know, Jesus instructed them on your giving. When you give, don't do it as a show or for any other motive other than love. And so then after the giving, then was what was the next one we've studied about for a few weeks? It was prayer. That's another grace that's in our life. Now, if your life, now listen, I'm not trying to be judgmental here, but if our lives do not consist greatly, and I might just say two-thirds of our life or a vast majority of our life does not consist in giving and praying, then I'd say we're not Christian. And I'd say you're not going to say amen. But it's true. Amen. We're going to have to have a... What did Jesus say? He said, in order to be my disciple, and you can't even qualify unless you take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Amen. There is no such thing as a self-centered Christian. There's not an animal like that. That's like going to the zoo and looking for a unicorn. You're not going to find one in the zoo. They don't exist. They're extinct. And I'll tell you what, there's not a Christian that exists that is self-centered. That's not a Christian. A Christian is someone in the example of Jesus Christ that is born of the Spirit. So we must have a giving, almsgiving spirit. Oh, hallelujah. And then of course he goes into prayer and they ask him how, in one place, teach us to pray. And I'll tell you what, and I know that's like kindergarten, really. When I got saved, the prominent teaching of the old preachers was, if you'll pray and attend church and read your Bible, you'll make it. Has anybody ever heard preaching like that before? If you'll pray every day, and never don't lay out of church and read your Bible, you'll make it. That's what they told me. I was wanting to make it so bad, Brother Zane, that I listened to that. And so I started reading my Bible. And I prayed and going to church because I wanted to make it to heaven. Amen. I wasn't going just because, you know, like paying union dues that you'd get kicked out if you didn't go. I'll go to survive. That's why I'm here. That's why I get all shook up about folks that, you know, that them being in church. Because I know if they can be in church and they're not in church, then there's something in their life that's more important than church. Huh? That's right. So you've got to put God first, and you've got to worship the Lord. And these are some factors in our lives that we know we've got to do these things if we survive. And I want you to go into this with me here. And he says, verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on there. It's kind of like they asked that black brother that preached why he never preached on adultery, and he said it always brings a coolness on the service. So I'm not going to dwell here a long time and bring a coolness on the service. But I'm going to tell you, this is in the Bible. And you know, if you're wondering why you can't make no progress with God, we need to just search ourselves and see if there's something in there that we have not forgiven. You know, the Bible said when you stand with holy hands, without wrath and doubting, that in order, when we worship and pray, we need to pray with forgiveness in our heart. That's why he ended this Lord's Prayer. This is really still, in my sense, part of the Lord's Prayer. It's not the repetitious part we say, but really we must add this in here, and it wouldn't hurt. And when we get done adding in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thine be the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and Lord, help me to forgive those that have trespassed against me, because you're not going to forgive me." How many knows that's what the Bible said? And you know, really, And if you're having trouble today forgiving wrongs that have been done you, I'm going to tell you, and I'm not an expert at it, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible is, and I can tell you what it is. You're not going to do it if you don't pray. I mean, you've got to pray. You've got to get in the presence of the Lord. Because when you get in the presence of the Lord and see the example that He did and look at how He forgave, and I'll tell you what, there's not any of us in here that have not deserved some judgment and justice somewhere along the line. I don't care if you was raised right at the foot of a holiness altar. Somewhere along the line, you did something wrong, you sinned and come short of the glory of God, and really, the Lord is, now if there's anybody in the world could judge sin, it's Jesus Christ, because He had no sin in Him. He's the only one qualified to be the judge of sin. Are you listening to me? Amen. So we can't really look at things that are done to us and say, I'm not going to forgive them. Because, do you remember the story about the man that was forgiven a whole lot of things, had mercy on him? I mean, he owed a great sum of debt. That's the way I felt, Brother Zane, when I got saved. Now, I know I could sit down. I had people tell me. And my mom, you know, mom loves you. They don't think you're hardly the axe murderer that everybody else does. But people say, well, he's a good boy. You know, but really, when I got under conviction, I wasn't a good boy. I wasn't. I mean, I ain't going to go into it right here because mom could still whoop me, you know. I'm not going to tell it all. But I wasn't a good boy. When I got saved, Brother Stiltner, I felt like, now I don't know if y'all felt this way, I felt like I was the lowest creature in the whole world. How did y'all feel? But I'm going to tell you, when I got, I don't know if I could have got saved or not if I'd have said, now Lord, I'm not a bad guy. But you know, just to get everybody off my back and get you, keep you from throwing me into hell, I'm going to go ahead and join your team. I don't know if I'd have got saved. You know, you're going to have to get... The Bible said the Holy Ghost has come to convince us, persuade us of our sins. Convict us of our sin. To let us know that our sin... How was it Paul said it? Amen. He said, Lord, that our sins might be exceedingly sinful. That we'll know how you look at sin. And you know, really, and we look at things like people that do us wrong, and if we hold grudges and won't forgive, then the Lord said, all right, just like He told that man that He had forgiven a whole lot of stuff, now look, and everybody in this house this morning, when I tell you this story, you're going to rise up and say, well, the low-down rat. I know you are, because it is a low-down thing. Here's a man that was forgiven great amount, had great mercy, and then some guy owed him a little old bitty thing, and he said, pay it in full, I'm going to have you thrown in prison. Well, if every one of y'all we'd have come up here today, you'd say, why, man, that's as low as you get. Well, what about you that are holding grudges here this morning? The Lord has forgiven you of some horrendous sins, but yet you won't forgive. Well, I'll tell you what the Lord, how the Lord summed this up, and that's not me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a mailman. I'm going to tell you how He summed it up. If you have got the audacity to hold it against somebody and ask God, if He said, I'm not going to forgive you either. If you won't forgive those that have trespassed against you, then you might as well just quit praying, because I ain't going to forgive you. You believe it's in the Bible? Let me read it to you again. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. How many knows this is true this morning? Now you may not have any problem with it. You may not. But just in case, we now and when we talk forgiveness, you know, when God forgives us, when we repent of our sins and God forgives us, it saves our soul. We become born again. Now, our forgiving somebody, I heard her get up in church one night, and really it made a lot of sense in a way, but she said somebody asked her, said, have you forgive them for what they did? It was a preacher's wife. And they'd had church trouble, and they'd run her down, slandered her. And they said, have you forgive? And she said, no, I haven't forgiven them because they haven't repented. Well, that's not exactly what the Lord had in mind here. He, you know, they don't have to come and beg your forgiveness. He just wants you to release that in forgiveness. Now, that don't save them, but it might save you. Does that make any sense? You've got to surrender that. Amen. And if you're not willing to surrender that, then He's not willing to forgive you. Now, I'll tell you something. There ain't one thing, not one harbored feeling worth going to hell over. Not one. There's not one. And I don't know, and really, and I know I've been there. When you get something and hold on to it and it festers in you, I feel like I'm preaching to somebody this morning. When you hold on to that thing and it festers in you, you can just about tell if it's eating on you. Because every time you see them, it's something churns in your stomach. And if it's in church, every time they, you know, act any bit religious, you'll say, "Hypocrite." Yeah. So you do have a problem, huh? Okay. But what you need to do is just loosen up on that. Just forgive. Forgive. Pray for it. Hey, you don't think that'll help you? Pray for it. You say, "Well, you're an authority." No, I'd say on a scale from first place to 100th, I'm way down the line. Because it's a struggle for me. I have to pray about it every day. But I'll tell you, I don't have a choice. Because to live for God and to preach the gospel, I have got to have the touch of God on me. I don't want to preach one message without inspiration and anointing. I don't want not one. So I'm not going to take a chance. I know this is boring some of you. I'm not going to take a chance of losing this touch of God in my soul just so I can, in my spirit, get bitter towards them. You hold on to that, it'll fester, it'll get bitter, and you'll hate them. Am I preaching you right or not? I mean, if I'm telling you the truth, and you don't have to say it real loud so everybody look at you, but if you've ever experienced this, you just say a little amen right here. That's right. And we got to pray. Brother, if you'll take it to God in prayer. Now, I told you I'm going to preach two sermons. I've about got this one finished. I got 15 minutes to go into another one. But I'll tell you what, it is vital that we do not carry any baggage with us to the altar, that we don't leave there. Leave there at that altar. No, and like that preacher's wife said, they haven't repented, so I haven't forgiven them. Well, just forgive them for your own sake, so you'll have free course with God. And get some freedom. Get some freedom in your spirit. All right? Now, we're going to go on to the third. That closed out the prayer. We've had almsgiving, and we've had prayer. And there's a third part here that is very important that we hardly ever hear about. And let me read it to you. Moreover, when ye feast. Did I miss that? These bifocals. Oh, what did that say? Fast. Oh boy. Be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. I don't know, where do we get off thinking that old time religion, if you really got the real kind, that you're going to look like you're mad at somebody? I remember Sister Peggy, one of your grandchildren, it was years ago, it might have been that one right there, when y'all would ask him, "Do you like Brother Randy?" And he'd frown. That wasn't you, was it, son? I don't know, you can't remember, can you? And I thought, is that how they look at Brother Randy up there preaching? How's Brother Randy look? You know, but in this fasting, how many knows when you fast? Now, if y'all can remember, how many knows when you fast? Now, brother, I'm not talking about from breakfast to lunch and there's no stores in between. Now, buddy, I'll just be honest with you. I like to eat. I mean, I know y'all know that. I like to eat. That's been my problem. That's why I had to lose this weight. That sugar got out because I love to eat Snickers and Mountain Dew. I felt like that was just a staple of my diet. I loved it. and it will wipe me out. But when you do without food, you know, you don't feel good. I probably told you about that old preacher. I was preaching a camp meeting, one of the first I ever preached years ago up in these mountains, and this old guy was there, and he'd been through that 50s when the healing campaigns and all went through, and I'd read about and heard about. And he was talking about all the healings he used to do, and he's a great old big guy, and he told me, he said, I used to see miracles all the time, he said. And he was interested. I loved it. He was interested to talk to. And he said, I used to see meetings. I've seen people this and I've seen people that. And he got to talking about fasting. He said, I used to fast a lot. He said, but it got so it hurt my stomach and I had to quit. And I thought to myself, amen, it hurts me all over more than anywhere else. When I miss, and you know, I can get up in the mornings, and if I purpose in my heart that God wants me to fast, I mean, if I get up on a normal day, Brother Mac, I can go plumb to 1 o'clock and hardly think about it. But if I purpose to fast the next day, I wake up looking for something to eat. Isn't that right? And I've told you this before, and I know you may not believe this, but I was fasting one time, my kids were little, and we was all around the table, and back then, you know, we were on that orange Kool-Aid economy diet. Y'all remember that orange Kool-Aid day? And we was eating supper, and I just went in the kitchen, sat at the end of the table, and I just wasn't eating nothing. And, brother, I could smell that orange Kool-Aid. Now, I know you think I'm telling you wrong, but I could. I didn't like it all that much, but when they poured that orange Kool-Aid over them ice cubes, I could smell that stuff, buddy. I mean, my body was screaming, give me something to drink, amen. Come on, y'all ain't liking it. You know, we almost have got so spoiled. You know, it does you good to fast because I'll tell you what it'll do for you. To do without, it'll humble you. Won't it? It'll humble you because after about 24 hours, you get dizzy-headed and you're just wallowing around trying to hold on to something. Ain't that right? I mean, it'll humble you down just to... And I'll tell you what I found out. And I know you can't hardly preach without people saying, well, I'll tell you, he must. No. But I'll tell you this right now. If you really want to find God's way and will in your life for a certain thing, there ain't hardly no better way in the whole wide world than letting God lead you into a sanctified fast and do away with those things. All right. Come on now. Help me preach a little bit. I remember there's been a lot of times in my life, and there's been spiritual crisis in my life. And times in my life, Brother Josh, when I really needed, well, all times in my life, I've needed God. But sometime more particular, when I got called to preach, and felt that burden on me, I found out, Brother Jeremy, that it had to be those days, just me and God, and get my mind upon the Lord. Amen. I wish I could help you some way here this morning. We'll pass off of this. I said, we'll pass off of this. But this is one of the three wonderful things, graces in our life that God said. Look what he said. He said, it's the same as he did with almsgiving and the same with prayer. When you do this, amen, it's not if you do this, but there ought to be, and I know we could go through a ritual, and I've done that in my life. Certain days of the week, I just dedicated for that purpose. And then there's times when the Lord said, Brother Kenny, to me, and this ain't everybody, I'm just talking for me, Brother Zane, I'm definitely not going to dictate this, amen, to individuals, because it's a personal thing. But there's been times when I, and for years, that was the way it was. Just certain days of the week, that's just the way it was. And I'll tell you, and y'all may, if you know what I'm talking about, just say amen. But when I would go to church on those days, Sister Hildred, it was a different service for me. It was not the same as an ordinary day. I mean, it was just like the fog had cleared away and I could see clearer. The Bible made more sense to me. The worship of the Lord. And even I found out, brother, and this must, Sister Leanne, this might be some kind of technical thing, but I could sing better when I hadn't ate nothing for quite a while. You said, Lord, son, don't eat no more. I can hear what you're saying. But it seemed like, Brother Tim, I could get it out better. The old diaphragm was a wheezing and a spitting her out. And it wasn't hard to feel the presence of the Lord. I'm just telling you something I know if you'll try. Now, I went along for that a while, and I felt one day, Sister Helen, I felt God check me and say, and I know you're going to think, now I'm telling you, this ain't for you, this is for me. But I felt the Lord say that routine I was through, was going through, was not what He wanted me to do anymore. I mean, not that it wasn't, but He changed it. And it got more intimate, to be honest with you, when He said, I'll tell you when. My brothers, I know. Now, this is me. Now, I hope y'all get that? I'm not dictating this. This ain't you. This is me. But I felt the Lord say that He would lead me into that. And so I got out of that routine, and I started listening to the voice of the Lord. And there was times that, I'm telling you, the Lord would say, go this long. And brother, you understand. Now, to fast 40 days or something like that, is a miracle. I mean, I've never done nothing like that. You may have. But in order to do without food and water for 40 days would take a divine miracle. Moses did it twice. Jesus did it. Huh? But they were sustained by divine intervention. Now, that's not the normal fast. You understand what I'm saying? And a fast is not a certain amount of days. You could fast one day. You could fast one meal. You could fast one food at a meal. You say, I don't get that. Yeah, I've read of great men of God, and Lord deal with them to do without certain things in their life. Brother Wilson, he did without certain things. And he'd tell you later, Sister Helen, he told you years later that he didn't think it was sin. And the only thing that saved him was that verse that said, eat what's set before you. Ice cream is one of the things he wouldn't eat, and probably maybe something else. But that's not exactly what we're doing, what he's talking about here, giving up certain things for a close walk. But it's fasting. It's doing, and a fast really could be with water, without food. And you say, well, why are we going into this? Because this is in our lesson today, and I want you to get it. Here's the key. Not if you fast, but when you fast. And you say, well, I can't go without eating. I take medicine at a certain time, and I take, and I've got sugar, and I've got to keep my sugar balance down and all that. And I understand all that. But I also know that the Lord said, when we fast. When we fast. Amen. We can't just mark it out altogether. We need the Lord to lead us in what kind of fast and how long. Hey, there's been times, and I'm as Brother Moore say, I speak as a fool. And you understand, I'm not trying to exalt your thoughts of me in any way, but I don't know any other way to teach this to you, to tell you. But there's been times that I run, Sister Connie, up against the thing, and the only way through it was for God to deal with me. Just don't eat until this moves. Now, every time he don't do that, because there's some things that I would be dead in the grave. It's not a hunger strike. It's just God dealing and that fasting. And I'm going to just tell you something. The Bible said, when you fast, don't do like the hypocrite. Ain't that what it's saying? Don't do like the hypocrite and with a sad countenance. Now, if you just fast, and like I've already told you that I have fasted some in my past, that you'll think, well, you've already let it out of the bag. But I'm just trying to tell you this to teach you here that when you fast, it's not to draw attention to yourself. Look how sad and forlorn I am. And the Bible goes on there, Sister Connie, to tell us that we ought to anoint ourselves and wash our face and not allow as much as we can, not to allow people to appear to people that we're fasting. Huh? You ever see folks that wanted to act so humble? And then I heard Brother Cox say one time, said, you know they're not humble because every time they speak, they use the plural term of we ain't much. He said, they think more of themselves than they ought because they called themselves we. And how many of you understand that's not really what we're looking for? And so
They don't put their humility.
Well, I love this little circle right here. They don't put their humbleness on display. If you put it on display, it's not humble, is it? So, but we've got to fast. And when we do, we do it privately with God. Just us and God. And we do without. I remember, I'll just tell this, brother. And I don't know, I hope y'all take this right. If you love me, you will. But I remember one time as a boy trying to get the Holy Ghost. We're praying with him, Brother Jeff. And we prayed ourselves out with him. And I went home that night after church, and I felt the Lord deal with me. And I know when I say that, I don't say that irreverently, because, you know, it is an awesome thing. But I felt him deal with my heart. You know how he deals with you to pray or do something or get up or go. You know, I felt that for me to call this brother and tell him that I felt like we ought to fast the next day, and I was going to join him and support him in it, and that I'd be a partner with him. And so we started, and he to get the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget it. And so he said, "Man, I'd appreciate that. I'd really love to get it." I said, "Well, I feel the Lord said for me to offer a support for you, and we'll fast tomorrow." And I work construction work, and I'm telling you what, buddy, when you don't eat carrying a 12-inch cinder block, you know your riches get too long after a while, and your head drops down, but I went out there that day with that guy trying to help him, you know, and I felt the Lord speak to me again, Brother Zane, on the way home, and or during the day, and say, "Call your friend and tell him to eat, that he's going to need his strength." So I got home even early, and I called him up, and I said, "Hey, how's that going? How's that fasting?" "Yeah, boy, I'm about to starve to death. I hope the Lord. I said, "Well, I felt like the Lord said to go ahead and eat, but you're going to need your strength." And you know what? He did need his strength. You know what he needed it for? He needed to get the Holy Ghost that night. That's what he needed it for, because he shouted and hooped and hollered and spoke in tongues, rolled in the floor for a couple of hours. I'm telling you. But I felt like God wanted him to obey in that sense of that fast sometime. You know, when they brought, Jesus came out of the Mount of Transfiguration, and they brought a boy, young man to him that was possessed of the devil. And they brought it to him, and he said, "My son is vexed of the devil." And they told the Lord, they said, or he told Jesus, "The disciples couldn't do this. I brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't cast him out." And the Lord just rebuked the devil and cast him out. And the disciples all came over and said, "Lord, why couldn't we do this?" And, of course, Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief. And then he said, "Only these come out only by prayer and fasting." Prayer and fasting. Now, that's what Jesus taught. How many knows he taught that? We're looking at this here where the Lord is talking about if we'll do this privately, personally with Jesus, not for a show or for pride. What did the Bible say would happen? What would the Lord do? He would what? Reward you openly. Now, there's not many things really in the Bible that you could just put your finger on and say, "God said if you do this, he'd do that." But he did here. He said, "If you'll fast, and you'll pray, and you'll give in an humble, private manner." I preached years ago a message on secret service. And that's what this is, secret service. I'm going to tell you, we've got a wonderful church. And I've really got high hopes that we're going to win some people to the Lord and raise our families on up here and have a wonderful, powerful, holiness church. But I'll tell you where the strength of a church is. It's not in the personality behind the pulpit. It's not. It's not in the money that you're able to put into it. It's not it. The power behind a victorious church is a people who will without fanfare fast and pray and give, and God reward them openly. Amen. That's what we need, Sister Loretta, in this church. We need God's reward on us openly. God's hand seen upon. But in order for the world to see God's hand upon our life, We must have that private devotion secretly before God. Let's stand.